from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, yesterday, Governor Jerry Brown released a revised budget that would pay off $11 billion of debt while putting aside money for teacher pensions and increasing payments to Medi-Cal. The governor said his budget amounts to good news for California, but he's expected to face tough negotiations in the state legislature. We'll talk about it. And then at 9:30, a European Union court ruled yesterday that Mountain View-based Google Incorporated must give people the right to delete online data about themselves. We'll discuss what the European decision might mean for the United States. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. In this opening Forum segment, we want to discuss the revised budget that Governor Jerry Brown unveiled yesterday. There are mainly two issues that we want to particularly focus on, education and certainly what's going on in the world of health, but we want to talk broadly about the budget as well. And with us in studio is April Dambowski. She's health reporter with the California Report. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have John Fensterwald by phone this morning. He's editor-at-large for EdSource, an independent not-for-profit research and reporting organization. And welcome, John Fensterwald.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. We'll also say good morning to Scott Detrow, who is with us this morning from the state capitol. He is Sacramento Bureau Chief for KQED Radio. Good morning, Scott.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you all. And actually, I thought I'd begin by looking at both health and education. And let's talk, April, with you about what we're talking about in this revised budget vis-a-vis education. What we're hearing most of all is nothing for pre-K.
Actually, I'm prepared to talk about the health-related issues.
Yes, you are, and I'm obviously not prepared here. No, let's talk about the health issues. What's going on with the revised budget with respect to health care, specifically Medi-Cal?
Well, the governor basically said that he's going to have to reallocate an additional $1.2 billion to cover the cost of the Medi-Cal program. And this is something that the governor agreed to do years ago, said, yes, California, we're going to go forward. We're going to expand the Medi-Cal program under the Affordable Care Act. And so now, basically what he's saying is we're locked in. And so whoever wants to sign up, we're going to have to cover that. And the issue is, the federal government covers 100% of people who are newly eligible for Medi-Cal. But what happened and what was unexpected was that a lot of people who were previously eligible for Medi-Cal under the former guidelines came out of the woodwork, so to speak, with all of the marketing and outreach for Obamacare. People said, OK, I'll sign up. And the trouble with that is that the federal government only pays 50% of the bill for folks who were previously eligible, and the state has to foot the other half of the bill. And so what Governor Brown said yesterday was a lot more people than we expected to come out of the woodwork came out of the woodwork.
Tighter than he expected. And he cut the rates too, didn't he?
He cut the rates. That was something that happened in 2011 during the recession. Governor Brown said, we have to pull back. We're going to have to cut back the rates that providers, that doctors get paid to see Medi-Cal patients. And this is creating an uproar among health advocates saying, you're cutting our rates at exactly the time that we're getting millions of people coming onto the rolls.
And the question I meant to forward to you, John Fensterwald, there is some uproar about the pre-K cuts, are there not?
Yes, Michael. There was hope that there would be, with $2.4 billion extra, more than anticipated in January, that perhaps this would be the first installment towards expanding pre-K to make it universal for all four-year-olds. But actually, very little of that extra $2.4 billion is actually going to education, which got a big increase in the original budget in January. So I think some of the advocates will probably take their fight to the legislature, and there's certainly some receptive leaders such as Daryl Steinberg in the Senate who's made this a priority.
Yeah, we'll hear about that when we talk to Scott. But there is more money going to education in this budget, isn't there, to K-12?
Well, in January, the original budget proposed a nearly a double-digit increase in per-student spending, which is, a near record, particularly for the new local control funding formula, the new funding system that we enacted last year. It's a huge push toward for that funding, but there's actually very little in the May revision additional money for Prop 98, which is the main formula for funding education.
So let me go to Scott on this. And Scott, before we talk about how this may play out in terms of the legislature, the governor's also trying to shore up California State Teachers retirement system, actually to eliminate some of the unfunded liability. He's got a 30-year plan here.
Yeah, this was probably the biggest departure from the January budget. Governor Brown has made, you know, paying off debt a big focus of this administration, but he's mostly focused on short-term debt, you know, fund-to-fund borrowing, things that have to be paid off within the next decade or so anyway. He had said over and over again, look, we have this massive looming pension problem. The state owes about $75 billion in unfunded liabilities over the next few decades to this pension fund. But we had yet to see a specific plan from the governor, just him saying this is something we need to deal with. This is the first plan Brown has put forward. It mirrors what's been making its way through the assembly as well. And under Brown's proposal, the state would overall about $450 million would go into the teachers' pension funds this year. That would increase more and more each year and eventually be several billion dollars a year. Under this proposal, school districts would actually be picking up the biggest tab here. He wants to see them increase their contributions from about 8% of payroll up to 19%. But schools, teachers, and the state would all be paying more under this proposal. And this is something that there seems to be an appetite in the legislature to deal with. But as you know, as everybody knows, pensions are a very contentious political issue. And this opening salvo of a proposal will likely change several times as it makes its way through the Assembly and Senate.
Well, what else is contentious here is a couple billion dollars of additional spending and where that's going to go.
Right. The bulk of that is going to the Medi-Cal program. And that's something that Brown repeatedly pointed to yesterday when he was asked over and over again why he doesn't want to spend more money, why he doesn't want to be more aggressive about restoring the massive cuts that the state saw during the recession. And Brown said, you know, if you want to talk about where we're spending money for disadvantaged people, for poor people, we're doing it in Medi-Cal. He pointed out 30% of the state is now going to get its health care through Medi-Cal. That's an enormous number. And he said that the state just has to devote its resources there because it made the choice to expand the program with the Affordable Care Act. Some of the other money goes to when you talk about what's new spending here compared to January, there's more money for drought-related issues, specifically dealing with wildfires that we're probably going to see much more of this year as the state dries out. We see them happening in San Diego right now.
Yeah, but there isn't much. There isn't much going to drought management specifically, is there?
Well, he pointed to the $600 million bill that he signed into law a couple months ago. That directs a lot of money to new programs, to economic relief for people who are suffering because of this drought. But that was money that was actually already approved several years ago in bond measures. So in terms of dedicating new spending that the state already didn't have to dole out, there isn't much there.
And what about the tough negotiations that we heard John Fensterwald allude to? I mean, you do have people like Daryl Steinberg who are standing very firmly in favor of more social net and really more money for especially social causes, I guess, right? Just to ameliorate social problems.
Mm-hmm. Steinberg and Senate Democrats have really marked pre-kindergarten, transitional kindergarten spending as their top priority. They want to spend a couple hundred million dollars on that this year, increase that to $1.5 billion over the next few years. They rolled that out in early January before we even saw the governor's initial proposal and said, we are staking our flag here. This is our top priority. Then Brown's budget came in January and he ignored them. And then his revision came yesterday and he ignored them again. And he almost dismissed that push yesterday, pointing out the state, when you add in community colleges, the state funds 15 different years of education. Brown said there are people out there who think if we just add a 16th year, everything will be, as he put it, hunky-dory. But of course, that's laying the groundwork for negotiations where you're going to have Senate Democrats and also Assembly Democrats under their new speaker, Tony Atkins, who took office just a couple days ago. They've all made it clear they'd like to see increased spending. But I think it's also worth pointing out that Governor Brown is in a very strong position. He has very high approval ratings. He looks like he's on his way to coasting to reelection. And he's typically gotten most of what he wanted in the last few budgets. So if Brown decides he doesn't want to spend much more money, it's hard to see this budget substantially increasing over the next month.
Again, Scott Detrow with us from Sacramento, the Sacramento Bureau Chief for KQED. And you can be with us as well. In fact, I know there are many of you who probably have questions about this revised budget, where the money's going or where it's not going, particularly with respect to education and health. And you can join us now and are invited to do so. Our toll-free number is available, 866-733-6786. If you have something you'd like to ask or bring into the conversation, now would be the time to call. It's a half-hour segment, so please feel free to join us. 866-733-6786. There are other ways of joining us. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Governor Jerry Brown announcing a revised budget plan, and again, this was released yesterday. We'd pay off $11 billion of debt while putting aside money for teacher pensions and increasing payments to Medi-Cal. Let me go back to Medi-Cal with you for a moment, April Domboski. There is an expectation a lot of people have that more can come from or should come from the Fed on this.
Well, the Fed is putting in quite a chunk of change. They're covering, 100% of people who are signing on to Medi-Cal anew. And that does account for the bulk of people who are signing up for Medi-Cal. They did put some additional requirements on the state for what they would have to pay. There is the half of the bill for folks who were previously eligible, but they're also requiring the state to invest in updated systems that make it easier to enroll in Medi-Cal, a new computer system, which the governor said yesterday needs to be fixed and improved.
Again, April Domboski with us in studios, health reporter for the California Report. John Fensterwald is also with us, editor-at-large for EdSource. What's the world of education doing just in response to what you have pretty much designated as fewer dollars, John? And also, what's the response to the teacher pension plan?
Well, let me get straight again. It's not fewer dollars. In the original budget that the governor proposed, a substantial increase for K-12 and community colleges. We're just talking about the difference between May and...
Well, the difference between the original and the revised budget.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if, what Scott had mentioned, CalSTRS, and I'm really interested to see how this changes the dynamic because, as he mentioned, by the time the governor's plan is phased in 7 years, we're talking about $5 billion contribution shared among districts, teachers, and the state. And it's we're currently paying about $6 billion. We're talking about $5 billion additional money, most of which would be absorbed by the school districts as employers. And this is at a time when they're trying to implement Common Core. They're trying to roll out the new local control funding formula. And so this is we've known this pressure was coming, but here it is, the reality, the stark realities. It's a lot of money, and I think that, their argument may be we've got a lot on our plate right now.
Well, talking about a lot of money, Scott Detrow, I'm looking at an online comment from one of our listeners, Bob, who says, pay off $11 billion? Really? I didn't think they had that much surplus. And why tough negotiations? Thought most of that was done already.
Well, the negotiations over a longer-term plan to pay off debt, and that's Governor Brown's rainy day fund plan, which he made his top priority, are basically wrapped up. Those concluded before the budget negotiations even began. And I think that's another example of the strong position that Brown takes into budget negotiations. He started out in January saying, my main priority is rewriting the laws that govern how the state saves money for future deficit years. He wanted to create a rainy day fund plan that would really focus on capital gains revenue. That's the stock market earnings, real estate. That the types of earnings that really skyrocket when the economy is going well, and then all but disappear when the economy slows down. And because of the way our tax structure is set up, there's a really small percentage of wealthy Californians who contribute really a substantial amount of the overall pot of money that we use to spend each year. So what Brown wanted to do was carve off some of those capital gains tax revenues and set them aside for future years in a rainy day fund. The ultimate plan changed a little bit. It's still going to focus on those capital gains earnings, but it also has a baseline of every year 1.5% of the budget is going to be saved for future years. That's a couple billion dollars a year based on where we are right now. That's a proposal that Brown pushed for. He called a special session to highlight attention to, and he got leaders from all four legislative caucuses on board. They do need to vote it, and then it does need to go on the November ballot for voters to approve. But as of right now, Brown has kind of won that battle, and the state is going to be dedicated to saving money down the line.
Well,
but that $11 billion is actually not even all of the amount of money that the state owes. There's still a substantial amount of debt to pay off after that.
And since you mentioned tax structure and tax revenue, I wonder if you could respond to a posting on our online on our website from Frank, who writes, in the ideal situation, we'd have a decent amount of socialism provided at low cost to taxpayers. Something tells me the blood-sucking elements in the banking sector and the larger business community will put the kibosh on any effort to provide taxpayers with bang for the buck.
It sounds
a bit ideological, but just how much is that sector going to play a role in terms of where this money is going to be spent? I mean, he's talking about the banking sector.
Sure. I guess that would fall under corporate tax earnings. I haven't had a chance to really dig into those too much. But in terms of, you know, a progressive versus a flat tax structure, California is obviously on the much more progressive ends of states in terms of higher rates for people who bring more money in.
Let's bring some of our callers in, and you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org. Michael, you're first up here. Welcome.
Hi. I'm an art teacher part-time in the community college system, sort of forced into retirement. And the last year and a half, I've had no courses, so I've lost my seniority after being at the school for 23 years. But all the part-time faculty were cut. There have been so many repeated cutbacks to the community colleges over the last few years that they're now in a skeleton crew. They have a sculpture teacher teaching ceramics. He's never taught ceramics before, and they used to have a great program. The painting is very little in the way of painting anymore, and students have been very disappointed. I'm now unemployed, and they've cut the long-term unemployment at the end of December. And I'm wondering, with all this money coming in, I appreciate what Jerry Brown has done. I'm really proud of him. I'm a long-term Democrat. But I'm wondering, when is some of the money going to come back to the community colleges to reverse the deterioration of these programs that have been so good and so important for so many people?
Richard, important question, and I'm sorry that you're out of work. And John Fencer, while we did a whole program on community colleges, he's right, they're hurting terribly. What's going to be in the future for them in this?
Yeah, it's important to put the human element on these cuts. Mike, I want to appreciate the listeners' comments. The only thing I can say is community colleges are funded by Proposition 98, which was hugely cut during the recession. There is an effort to get back to pay off the cuts that were made. Proposition 98 accounts for this and requires the payback of those reductions. And Proposition 98 is a huge benefactor of the resurgent economy. So it's going to take time, and it's not comforting to say, but it will take years.
I think we have billions of dollars in new Prop 98 money, don't we?
Yes. Yes. And, in fact, the way it works is when there is a sudden surge in income, Proposition 98 becomes the priority and repaying what was owed to it under the formula.
And I thank Michael for the call. Let me bring Richard on next. Richard, join us. Welcome to Forum. You're on the air.
Thanks. I just had a question on the details of this Medi-Cal proposed increase, because over the last couple of years, they've cut fees to physicians and pharmacies to such an extent that most physicians today won't take a new Medi-Cal patient, and it's like charity. They have to actually lose money. And so I was wondering, are they increasing the fees to physicians, or especially the internists and general practitioners that see most patients in the pharmacies, or are they just increasing the scope of the program?
Yeah, April Dombowski.
They're not increasing the fees, and this is a big point of contention. The bulk of the money that Governor Brown talked about yesterday was simply to cover the basic costs of new people who enrolled in Medi-Cal that they hadn't expected. But this point about the cuts is really a problem. And you've got a lot of doctors and clinics saying, you know, that they're basically seeing Medi-Cal patients at a loss, that, you know, the cost of rent, the cost of equipment, the cost of supplies, that's not going down. And so, they're saying, you know, the state is basically forcing them to see patients at a loss. And if they continue to do that, then, you know, their only choice from a business perspective is to turn Medi-Cal patients away. And that is, certainly a concern that they're repeating to the governor, you know, if you want to give people new insurance, that's great, but you have to create a network where they can actually find a provider.
Yeah, where are the doctors going to come from? They're going to treat all these new Medi-Cal patients.
I think that's an open question.
It's a big question, yeah. Richard, thank you for the call. I'll get some more of your calls on here. Sue, join us. Hi.
Hi. I have worked as an early intervention specialist for children birth to three who have demonstrated disabilities and also at risk for developing disabilities. And that funding was pretty much decimated when it was cut back only to kids who demonstrated certain delays. And most of those kids couldn't demonstrate delays until they were at least a year old, which shrank the window for intervention to only 2 years. And I wanted to know what, if any, is the funding increase for that particular area.
I don't know if John or Scott, can one of you help us here?
I don't know that particular program.
I haven't seen anything there, but I think all of these calls get to a main point that the governor's been making pretty much throughout his entire third term in office. And that's whether it's community colleges or whether it's, you know, Medi-Cal rates for doctors or whether it's programs for early childhood intervention or health issues. Brown is pointing out that, yes, the state cut tens of billions of dollars worth of these programs during the last recession. But he thinks that it would be equally harmful to rebuild these programs to those previous spending levels, because he argues that even if the state, you know, saves as much as it can in a rainy day fund, the state is going to hit another recession. That is just the cycle that the state goes through. Getting back to those tax structures we talked about earlier, the state typically, you know, loses money very quickly when the economy turns south. And he argues that it is not worth rebuilding funding if the recession is going to just wipe those fundings out and force more cuts down the line. So he'd rather have a steady, slow increase than a rush to restore these cut programs.
Well, it's prescient of him to talk about boom and bust as he's been talking about it. And let's get another caller on here, and that's you, Ron, joining us from Upland, California. Good morning.
My question would be, as a business owner, we have got a revolving door in this state, and businesses are leaving like crazy, particularly ones like myself that have about 200 employees into Arizona, Texas, you know, no secret. How does Jerry Brown plan to replace the revenue when what's leaving is the money contributing to the state? What's coming in is just basically service jobs or warehouse for China. And with that, I'll wait for the guest to answer.
All right, Scott, let me go to you on this, Scott Detrow.
This is a pretty big criticism of Governor Brown, and it's coming up more and more during the campaign. I was on a reporting trip in Southern California last week in the days after Toyota announced that it was moving a major plant to Texas. And that's something that everybody I talked to, it was on the top of their mind. They were concerned about it. They wanted to know what the state had done, if anything, to try and keep Toyota here. And as the reports came out, the answer was very little. And in fact, the state may not have even been aware Toyota was about to move until the day Toyota announced the decision. And a lot of people in the Republican Party especially are criticizing the governor for just not getting into the tax break fight, to the incentives fight that so many states have engaged in order to lure big business to their community.
Well, he responded to Rick Warren, I mean, at least rhetorically, for what that was worth. But this is a subject for another day and an important one at that. We've come to the end of this segment. Let me thank Scott Detrow, who is with us from the State Capitol, Sacramento Bureau Chief for KQED Radio, and April Dembowski, who is health reporter for the California Report. And thanks to John Fencerwald, editor-at-large of EdSource. And this is Irene Noguchi's birthday. Happy birthday to Irene. We're coming back for another segment. We're going to talk about big decision that affects Google out of the European Union. I'm Michael Krasny.